Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Thoughts from the Movies. Today, we are sailing this pirate ship from the Union Fitness Studios, located on the North Shore of Pittsburgh. Union Fitness is more than a traditional gym. It's a place where you can find Aztec gold, be cursed by the damned, and then return it with the blood of a pirate. AKA classes like strength, fitness, and yoga training. At Union Fitness, they believe it is their duty to hold themselves and their clients to the pirate code. They practice what they preach, and they believe in parlay. At Union Fitness, I don't even know where I am.
You're so good at this.
I don't know.
How are you this good?
Shit, fuck. At Union Fitness.
Something in strength. There's union and strength or whatever.
Something about the code.
Yeah. Parlay, pirate parlay. Code, union through strength, parlay. Union fitness. That was amazing.
And nobody say parlay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how you integrated that so well. That was fantastic. I thought there was a pirate flag in here somewhere. There was all the pirate shit, but
I think the Z.
Oh yeah.
And then the pirate's banner.
Okay.
I don't let that many losing things in the studio.
12 and 11 pirates, not losers anymore.
Well.
But I thought that 2 beers deep was a pirate flag, but
it's a pirate ship that we're on.
Nice.
Thoughts from the bench.
Naturally.
Wow. Today's movie, boys and girls, is quite honestly one of the most important movies in young Justin's life.
I thought you were going to say the greatest movie of all time. And
we'll
either
get
or.
Into that because it's,
it's either or.
Up there.
Both, probably.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Curse of the Black Pearl.
What was that accent?
That was
that's like an Irishman.
Some odd Barbossa take.
Nice.
There.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean, the OG.
Yes.
Number
the
one. Where this franchise we are 5 films in now. And at some point, some may argue that it went off the rails a little
bit. Lost its way. Some may say Transformers lost its way when they replaced Megan Fox, alone Mark Wahlberg being auditioned.
Did you not like when they replaced Megan Fox with Rosie Huntington-Wheatley?
Nope.
Or Mrs. Jason Statham?
Pissed me off.
Yeah, she wasn't as good.
Nope.
But Pirates of the Caribbean, number one, which I think people can generally universally agree is pretty good. It's like Transformers actually in a lot of ways. Like the first one, a lot of people think is pretty decent. And then the rest, it kind of depends, right?
I would say that it's better than Transformers. Transformers is not in the better or worse than category today.
Yeah.
But I would say Pirates, after watching Pirates last night, I texted you for and it'll come back. See? There it is.
Love it.
Yeah. So from 2003 to 2021, I mean, it still holds up.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting because 2003's effects were vastly different from today.
But even the special effects of the skeleton
ghost pirates
and stuff was good.
Yeah?
Like, it was believable. It wasn't like, I wasn't looking at it like, holy shit, this is bad. Like, what were we watching? One of the movies we watched, and I was like, these special effects are fucking terrible.
Was it the Nicolas Cage movie?
Those were bad.
Those ones were okay.
Those were pretty bad. Yeah. I don't remember. But it was, I thought, like, it held up. And I think they did such an amazing job in this movie world building that, like, even if it was, like, kind of choppy or weird looking, like, you've suspended disbelief long before that.
Definitely.
Jeffrey Rush is a fucking legend. Say that again, Boyd, because goddamn.
Although I think he had like some sexual assault allegations or something, so can't be too much of a legend.
Of course.
Everyone. Right. The Pirates world is amazing. And we'll get into that in one of our topics tonight.
Yeah.
How it affected me personally.
Right.
But I mean this movie, and what's crazy to me about Pirates of the Caribbean is that there's no movies like it. Like Pirates weren't a thing since like the 30s or whatever. And this made Pirates, not only did it bring them back, it made them super cool again.
Better or Worse Than was tough.
Yeah.
Because it was like, there was nothing and still is nothing like Pirates.
Right.
And the fact that it's all original canon, it's based on the ride at Disney.
Right.
There's no novels. There's no, I mean, it's all pirate folklore, like Davy Jones, the Kraken, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But like the character of Jack Sparrow is completely original.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Isn't it?
And that's one of the topics I want to bring up today is like, who else is like original character made for film, top 10 material
mm-hmm.
that can compete with Jack Sparrow? I have a couple.
There are so many. Yeah.
There's a lot, but I don't think there's enough of the echelon of Jack Sparrow.
Nice use of the word echelon.
Yeah.
Are you talking like franchise people or just like in general characters? Okay. Well, I'll be curious to see that list.
Yeah.
Because sure, there are so many. I mean, there are so many great literary characters. You know, like Harry Potter, Forrest Gump,
whatever. Right, that made the jump to the silver screen and they're fucking amazing. And yeah.
But you're doing totally original.
Totally
How
original.
How many of them are Quentin Tarantino characters?
One.
Three. Okay.
One.
Just the one.
Just the one.
Nice.
I thought, you know, I think a lot of people, wait for the creme.
Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, is one that I saw a lot when I was looking around, and sure, but also like it's clearly based on a real fucking person in a lot of ways. Like there was actually people who like went out into the country and hunted Jews and shit.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Luke Skywalker. Yeah, for sure.
Skywalker's up there.
Jack Sparrow was the coolest guy in 2007.
Yep.
Yeah, he was the coolest guy for a long time.
Yeah.
And Johnny Depp was the coolest guy for a long time until his career unfortunately took a very nasty turn downwards, which it's still on today. What?
Casanova Frankenstein, obviously. Wait, what? Oh.
Casanova Frankenstein from Mystery Men.
Okay, I understand now.
Shout out to Mystery Men,
again,
which we had taught. Yeah,
we can't reference it enough.
No one can.
It's an amazing fucking film.
It is.
But I think this movie is delightful. And just to kind of get into the topics, and then we'll jump back into the conversation. But we're going to talk about the influence the movie had on you.
Oh, yeah.
And literally how it shaped your career. Pirates being an old school movie in the sense of the way they made it, the way the movie's structured, the way the action scenes are shot, the moving set pieces, like it is old school filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Top 10 iconic characters. We've kind of already prefaced that a little bit. Better or worse than Pirates versus other franchises. Where does this stack up? And then over underrated, the actors. And I kept the list short because the guy, like the big four from this movie are the best big four ever assembled.
Whoa. I don't know about that one.
And, you know, we can kind of parlay that into the franchise's conversation because, you know, Elizabeth, Will,
right,
Jack, and Barbossa are maybe not the equivalent of Luke, Leia, Han, and Vader, but they're putting in a good fight.
That's interesting. I don't know how many people would agree with that based on like the Star Wars fandom out there.
Absolutely. And I think if Pirates, if At World's End is even kind of good, we're having a completely different conversation.
Right.
Man's Chest is fun.
Let me ask you this, though. Okay, yeah. So of the five of them, did you see all five of them?
I only saw four of the five.
Did you not see which
one?
I have not
seen the most recent.
The most recent one. Dead Men Tell No Tales. Okay. So of the five, of the four that you saw, you're saying that what, two of them were okay? Like you said, Dead Man's
Chest
is
okay. Two of
them are
good. One of them is okay.
Dead Man's Chest and the second one is good.
It's good, yes.
And the third one, At World's End, is okay.
It's okay.
And the fourth one, On Stranger Tides, is
forgetful.
Yes. Okay. I agree with that.
Forgettable.
Well, I mean,
whatever that word
is. As weird as the second and third ones are, Dead Man's Chest and At World's End, it's hard for me not to get into them because that world's already kind of been set up to be weird.
It's set up. And like the second one is cool because you see the romance blossom more. You get more into the Jack Sparrow background and like, they're in Tortuga more. They're doing more fun shit. Davy Jones is fucking awesome. The Kraken is fucking awesome. The dice game. Will meets his dad. Bootstraps, bootstraps. One of my favorite fucking things to say for no reason. Like, there's a lot of amazing parts of Dead Man's Chest. And then At World's End is cool in a lot of ways because Elizabeth becomes captain of her own fleet and ship, and there's the big boat battle at the end. And
yeah, the pirate lords. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of cool... The opening, when they're in...
Singapore.
Yeah, Singapore. Yeah. It's fucking awesome.
Definitely.
Like, there's so much cool shit, but, like, I just named everything I remember from World's End. And then they go up, the ship goes upside down at one point. That's all I remember.
Yeah, when he is in the locker, because it starts out as Jack is in Davy Jones' locker and they have to go rescue him.
Yeah.
Remember? And that's when it all goes, like, the up is down thing and everything. And it does become a little bit extra.
Right.
A little much.
Right.
But it's also, like, you know, again, the world has been so established to be weird, and that's okay, I think. I mean, it does, it definitely gets more and more into the supernatural as the series goes on, which I don't know that I love.
It jumps the shark. It jumps the Kraken.
Well, I think I think it does what Fast and the Furious did, which is, like, they took something that was kind of set up in the first movie, which is, you know, the car thievery with, like, the cool stunts and everything, and it just exponentially grew each movie. You know, they could have just had, like, a street racing movie, but they had to add all the stunts and all the crazy shit in it. And Pirates is the same way. Like, you probably could have just made a Pirates movie about pirates, right? But you had to throw in all of the supernatural stuff into it, which is the zombies and the mermaids and the Calypso and the Kraken and all this shit.
And even Calypso, I didn't mind that much, really. I mean, it's the ex machina of the story. That's how they get out of it, right? Calypso shows up and saves them and shit.
Yeah, I mean...
But, it's... like, I don't know. Like, I didn't mind Calypso as much. And like I said, like, one and two are great. Three is good. Four is not memorable in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. And five is just flat out bad.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Is four the one where he's running away from the tribe on the beach?
That's two.
That's two. That's a great scene. Because
they made him... He's like, then they made me that chief. But then in the second one, they actually make him the chief.
Right.
And they're going to eat him. And then the guys are stuck in, like, the cages.
Yes. And that the whole, like, the action sequence in the ravine is cool as they're trying to escape the island. I mean,
the fourth one is super heavy on the supernatural, and it has Penelope Cruz in it and Ian McShane is Blackbeard, and they're trying to find the Fountain of Youth.
Ah, yes. Okay.
And it's
coming
like they kidnap the mermaid.
Yeah.
And the guy is like the priest who's in love with the mermaid. And he controls the ship with the sword.
Why is all the rum gone? Yes, they do all blend together in some way, shape, or form, Boyd, for sure. What's the chick that grows Calypso? I'm sorry, I'm reading these late. Yeah. Free this man from his mortal binds. Yeah, all that is in three.
Yeah.
When it
all just becomes a little much. But the reason the first one is so awesome is because it keeps it light enough with the pirates being zombies or whatever.
Yeah.
That, like, it's there. It's an element, but it's mostly just a pirate movie.
Yeah, and they're not really even zombies until the end.
Right, yeah. Until the third act.
And then it's fun, because then the twist.
Yeah, and then you have the zombies versus the soldiers or whatever and everything. Yeah. So, yeah, the first one holds up fantastically.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, yeah.
I was so glad. As I put it into the DVD player, I pulled it out of the media case and I like undid it and like I put it in and I was like, yes.
Well, also the
it's gonna be 2 hours of awesome.
Also, what happened while the movies themselves were getting a little bit out of control and going further down the path or down the rabbit hole, so to speak, so was Johnny Depp with Captain Jack's character, where it's just getting the first one is the best version of Captain Jack because he plays it right in between where he needs to play of like you don't know if he's genuinely like just an idiot or if he is secretly
that might be
on
the
top
worst
of everything.
You are the worst pirate I've ever heard of. But you have heard of me.
Right.
Like, that's...
And then the next scene, he's like, that's got to be the best pirate I've ever seen.
It's
as it
would seem. Yes.
It's just juggling. He just walks that line so brilliantly. And then in all the other movies, he just gets more and more ridiculous and
becomes
sort of
more of a character,
playing the character more and more and more. Yeah, in the fifth one, he's not even. It's like he's just phoned it in.
And like, It's so hard because I think, and it was almost a topic I brought up, was does Johnny Depp deserve an Oscar for the first Jack Sparrow performance?
100% yes.
Because, like, the nuances of the character are incredible. The, you know, and he famously did the character design himself, right? Like, he came in with the dreads and the beard and the hat.
Yeah,
he
worked with
yards.
The costume designer on everything very heavily.
Right.
And based it on several people.
I'm yeah. Sure you,
Keith Richards.
Right,
Rolling Stones,
is one of them.
And Pepe Le Pew was the other one.
But, like, my favorite, there's so many little dumb things he does. But my absolute favorite is when it's at the last scene where the he and Will are, like, tapping swords as they're surrounded by the guards.
Oh, yeah.
And they're back to back. And then Will's obnoxious fucking feather flops in Jack's face. And he goes like,
just blows it out. Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, it's just a small moment. But, like, it's so awesome.
Well, it's just that little bit of fun. Like, it yeah. injects that one humorous
right, right.
beat into it.
Right.
And it also does such a great job, the movie, of balancing the action and the romance and the humor. Mm-hmm. All of it.
Yeah. It's one of those, I feel like so many action movies get caught up in trying to make a love plot happen.
Mm-hmm.
And my perfect example is Pacific Rim. There's a love story in it.
Right.
But it doesn't overshadow Pacific Rim. It's not like they're, like, jamming it down your throats where, like, they have to fuck before the big final battle. It's just like, aw.
Yeah, they don't even kiss in the movie.
No, they don't kiss.
Yeah.
And that's, like, in an action movie, I like it that way. If I want...
No action.
No action in the action movie, if you will.
Zing.
Unless she chose to dine with the crew. Naked.
Oh!
Oh,
man. Don't even get me started on Keira Knightley. We'll get into that.
But. As I was watching the movie, I was, like, saying the quotes out loud. And this was one of the few movies that Anastasia didn't pay attention, but she sat next to me for. Because it's a movie that the name makes you want to watch it.
Hell yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah, I want to watch Pirates. Pirates is fucking sweet. And, like...
Wait, had Anna seen it before?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. We saw the fourth one together. We were both like, oh, Pirates, new Pirates movie, let's go. And then it was...
Right.
But, where was I fucking going with this? But she, like, sat there and, like, I'm, like, you know, doing my thing and I'm quoting the movie, right? Like, right. Back to the movie.
Right.
And she's like, you could do the whole movie. And I was like, it is... I didn't think that going into the movie that I could quote the whole thing back, but sure enough.
Right.
Of course, we watched it how many fucking times when we were a kid?
I mean, so many times that I honestly might be able to do the entire movie. If there were going to be one movie that I could quote from start to finish, it would either be The Phantom Menace or this movie.
He tied his back hair together and caught the turtles. That's
allegedly.
True. Allegedly. Yeah.
Human hair from my back. So, only the one and only Jack.
Where did he get the rope? And then it just cuts to him standing there. It's such a well-made movie. It's so well-written.
Yeah.
It's so well everything. Acted.
And you know what? It's also one of my favorite opening shots of all time when the ship just comes out of the mist
yes.
right at you.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes. And
it just sets the tone so well.
And her stealing the medallion to save him. And, like, it's an opening scene that is – it sets the tone.
It's got the creepy music and everything.
It's so good.
Yeah.
The composer –
yeah.
I wrote it down.
Klaus Badelt.
Yes. Not recognized enough, in my opinion.
No, a lot of people think it was Hans Zimmer, actually, who was a mentor of Klaus Badelt, but it was not Hans Zimmer.
I gather that. I mean, it's very Zimmer-esque, but, like, kills it. Absolutely kills it.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah. And not only the music, but, like, the actual musical cues within it. But, yeah, I love the
yeah.
way that it starts up. And
When Jack and Will sword fight for the first time inside the blacksmith. I was
right.
going to say office. I don't think that's correct.
In the blacksmith's office.
In the blacksmith's
yeah, yeah.
office.
In the back office.
The opening, like, when they first, like, exchange in the first, like, ding, 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 it goes to the rhythm, like, the violins go ching 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 right along with the swords. And it's just like,
yeah.
Details.
Do you remember
the details?
Do you remember that we had to do that in school?
Yeah.
In film school.
Yep.
I was gonna ask you if you had that scene still to put
I'm
back
sure
in.
It is on a hard drive somewhere.
I definitely have it on hard drive. I think.
So the story goes that Justin Luter and I had the same sound design class, and the final second to last project is a group project where you and a partner have to recreate a movie. And you have to do all the Foley and the voiceover work and all that kind of stuff for ADR it, the whole nine yards. And we decided to do the poop scene from Billy Madison where they light the shit on fire. And the teacher, we, you know, we did it. And obviously we're very familiar with the film.
He and, called this shit poop.
And we... The professor said, okay, you can show whichever one you want first, and we'll guess whether it's the, you know, the movie or whatever. And so we played our version first. And then when it was done, the professor goes, okay, now play your version. Just assuming that that was the actual version.
It was pretty good.
And we were like, nope, that was us.
It's poop again.
It's poop again. Don't tell me my business, devil woman.
Don't put it out with your boots, Ted.
Yeah, don't put it out with your boots, Ted.
But I forgot we did that one, too. But the, yeah, so what, I mean, what we did for this one, though, we took that scene between Jack and Will and put all the sound effects back into it. Which was a lot of fun.
So good.
Yeah.
So what about the movie was like hot take for Justin? Return of the Jedi sucks. Norm MacDonald's line when he's like, this is the best day of my life.
This is the best day of my life.
What day is it? Wednesday? No, it goes July.
October.
That's right. October.
What's today? October?
It's Nerdy Magazine Day.
Return of the Jedi sucks.
It's too hot in here for a penguin.
We're definitely doing a Sandler episode at some point. Return of the Jedi sucks. I think Empire Strikes Back is not all that great, actually. I like Return of the Jedi because you got Boba Fett, you got the Sarlacc and Jabba the Hutt and that whole cool sequence on the skiffs. You got the great end sequence between not only... You have the three-pronged climax of that movie, right? You got the space battle, you got the Endor.
The teddy bears.
And you got the... Luke versus Vader.
Yeah.
So I like Return of the Jedi a lot, actually, Boyd, but I'm not a huge fan of Empire Strikes Back, and I think a lot of people are, but that's the one I definitely like the least.
I love Empire. Empire's the best heist. No, wait, which one's the best heist movie? We did that.
Rogue
on heist
One,
movies.
You guys said was
yes,
the best,
is the
heist,
best
movie.
Heist movie.
Yeah.
But Empire is, I love Empire.
Yeah,
I really
doesn't
do
it for me.
The fucking, the Hoth. The whole scene on Hoth is fucking cool.
That's a fun sequence.
Everything with Yoda.
It gets so slow for me in the middle. Like, between Hoth and between Cloud City at the end, I'm like, what is happening again?
I always forget about Cloud City, though, and it's so cool to see Vader outside of the Death Star.
I like seeing him at the dining room table. Like,
yeah,
he might actually eat some
wild
food.
Like, Vader's just like...
Yeah, you go and eat dinner, and Darth Vader's there.
Yeah. That'd actually be sick.
And I mean, that fight is good at the end, I suppose, between him and Luke when he cuts his hand off and everything. Certainly iconic.
Yeah. And that's the line. I'm your father.
Right.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Guess. Yeah. But Luke's just a badass in Return of the Jedi. He's got the black glove on. He's got his hands all fixed up.
Yeah,
he's got the new lightsaber and
Luke,
everything.
Luke does the glow up that Will Turner never does in the Pirates movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will Turner glows down.
Yeah.
He becomes the Davy Jones
the third
or whatever.
Character.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, I like Return of the Jedi. Sorry, Boyd. What were we talking about before that? Should we get into the things?
Yeah. We're talking about how this movie like sent you on your career path.
This is the one for me, man. This is the movie that made me want to work in movies. It's a very special film to me on a lot of levels. And it's interesting in Hollywood and even the people that are in the chat or yourself, like there's always one or two movies that just for whatever reason impact you more than everything else, right?
The Lion
like,
King.
The Lion King is it for you, and P.S. I Love You, maybe. Reservoir Dogs, things like that.
Reservoir Dogs, yes. Just really like P.S. I Love You.
And whatever, you know, whatever it is, there's always one movie. And even if you're not a film person, everyone seems to have that. But in the industry specifically, a lot of these people, because it's so demanding and because so many aspects of it are really shitty and tough to get through, like a lot of people rely on that childhood love to get themselves through and to keep going in the yeah. business, which can be really tough and demanding. And what I've found is that for the generation above us, a lot of these people's favorite movies were either Star Wars or 2001 A Space Odyssey or these types of really, you know, big epic movies, Lawrence of Arabia, things like that. But usually it's mostly like in the sci-fi realm because it's big effects driven movies and things like that. And it was very similar for me with Pirates. I mean, it was 13 when we came, when it came out, we were 13 years old. And we at the time were in school and, you know, starting to think about like what we wanted to do for a career. They had these classes called CTP, which was like if you knew you wanted to do a certain thing like nursing or business or whatever, they'd start giving you some like real basic classes. And we were obviously in the communication track doing, you know, some basic media classes and filming stuff. But before that, I had wanted to be a hockey broadcaster. That was the only thing I could think of doing because I was like, what do I love? Hockey.
We were both going to hockey in some way, shape, or form well into our junior years of high school.
Yes, definitely.
Hockey was our career.
That was it. Yeah, and I wasn't good enough to play, so I'm like, what else can I do? Yeah. I'll watch it. My parents were divorced, and I went with my dad on the weekends down to Pittsburgh from Butler, so I wasn't with, like, any friends or anything, but a lot of what we did on the weekends was we would go to this dollar movie theater that they had, and at the time, it played, you know, movies that had been out for a little while, but I remember seeing Pirates of the Caribbean there, and as a 13-year-old, and I'll never forget this moment ever in my entire life, I walked out of the movie theater, and I knew in that instant that I wanted to do that for the rest of my life. Like everything that I had felt for the previous 2.5 hours was just, I was so enraptured by it. And it made me feel things I had never felt before and totally transported me and took me to this amazing, incredible world. And I knew, I said, I want to make people feel what I just felt and do the kinds of movies that are going to make people have the experience that I just had. So it's really like it was a profound moment in my life. I mean, I had been looking, I'm like, what could I see myself doing forever? You know? And I wasn't sure hockey, obviously we loved, but then I saw the movie and I'm just like, that's it. This feeling that I have now, if I could make everyone else in the world have this feeling, mm-hmm. how awesome would that be?
Yeah.
And I don't know, you were probably, you know, when you saw Lion King, you were probably much younger. So I don't know if it had the same impact on you or if anyone in the chat has a movie that really like hit them that way, if that's happened to people. But I was like just right at that perfect age. But when you saw Lion King, were you too young to even have that thought?
Yeah, way too young.
Because, I mean, you would have been, what, 6 or 7?
Yeah. Way too young. Actually, it was 5 or 4, like 6. That's like Lion King's 95. Way too young. And, you know, I think like the movies that made giant impacts on me are like Lion King, Jurassic Park, Star Wars, Two Towers, which is around the same time.
Yeah.
But I don't think I took film seriously until Reservoir Dogs. That was because we had met Robbins by that point, and we were really becoming like that kind of kid. Like our favorite movies respectively at that time were probably like Fight Club and Boondock Saints. Like that was what we were watching every weekend. And so like Reservoir Dogs was one where like he's like the guy who made Pulp Fiction, this is his first movie. And I remember being like, Pulp Fiction's the greatest fucking movie ever made. Like, literally thinking that in my brain. And then, like, watching Reservoir Dogs and being like, oh, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
This is so much cooler. Because there's no action in it.
Right.
It's just dialogue. It's just this trapped bottle thing. And it's, and, like, the tension. And, like, still, my brain has done this really amazing thing, either on purpose or through CTE. It always forgets who the cop is.
Mm-hmm.
I always forget. I like right now sitting here can't tell you whether it's Harvey Keitel or Buscemi.
Well, I won't spoil it.
Please don't, because I'll watch it again. And I'll be
that's amazing.
Shit, that's right.
It's amazing that a movie can do that so well that you forget certain parts of it because it's just there's so many things happening and so many layers and intricacies.
Well, and Mr. Blonde is one of my favorite characters ever fucking written.
Right, yeah.
And I mean it's the whole no names, there's so many. So yeah, I got that same feeling much later in life because when you saw Pirates, I was still going to the show. in my head. Like, yeah. I was still a hockey player.
Oh, yeah.
And it, like, I remember it was after my junior year. It was like freshman year or my senior year or freshman or first semester of my senior year. And, you know, our hockey team got knocked out of the playoffs on a technicality. We were tied with a team and they won on goal aggregate, which is fucking ridiculous, Whippeal. And I remember nobody on the team wanted to play after that. They didn't want to go to tournaments. They didn't want to do any of that shit. And Hanzo wanted me to go try out for USHL and like try to go juniors. And I was just so beat down. I remember going into Robbins and just being crushed. And he's like, "What?" And I was like, "Well, I don't think I'm going to be a hockey player anymore." And he's like, "Do you think that's what you were going to do for the rest of your life?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "You know, you could do this." And he's like, he gestures around the room. We were in the control room mm-hmm. of the studio. And I was like, "No." And he's like, "Yeah." And then that's how, like, he's like, "All right, let me call Dr. Bacher. And let's see if it's not too late for you to register to go to Robert Morris."
Damn. Well, I didn't know that. I never heard that story before.
It's all Robbins.
Yeah. Love all that Robbins. Guy.
Yep.
So much respect for him. Yep. And, you know, how he impacted our careers. But I think what also about this movie, and it was crazy, the impact, not only about the movie on me personally, but it also shaped sort of my film tastes for the preceding years. Because
yeah, you love action movies.
I do love action movies, but Johnny Depp became my favorite actor in a heartbeat. And I for many, many years, you know, for at least like a decade after that. And he was really, like you said, I mean, in terms of characters, original characters, what he created with Captain Jack was so profound. And I think at the height of an actor's ability to create something completely unique for themselves, right? And that was always sort of the measuring stick for me, too, was, you know, what else compares to Captain Jack, you know, from beyond that. And you have, you know, like the
Not
Joker
a whole,
or
a
like,
lot.
Yeah, exactly, right?
As far as original.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the whole movie, I mean, it just sent me down the path of learning about film and wanting to be in it and, you know, my love of the craft of filmmaking, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yep.
But yeah, it was just a very profound thing for me.
Yeah.
Very exciting moment.
Yeah. It's
for
great.
Little Justin.
It's a great movie. And then you were Jack Sparrow like 16 times for Halloween in a row.
I was. I think I still have that wig buried somewhere.
That's awesome.
I should have worn it, but I haven't found it.
Pirates is in large effect an old school movie. In the sense that it's a lot of practical effects. It's a lot of big moving set pieces where a camera is tracking through explosions and action that are actually happening in camera. And it's, as I was watching it, I didn't remember that about it. And it made me appreciate it even more because in 2003, you are well into The Matrix and some other heavy effects movies have come out and kind of done their thing. And like, they could have taken that route mm-hmm. and they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty much all practical except for the zombies, pirates.
Yeah, and I mean, it's even so practical that they built parts of ships and put them in water.
Yeah, like the entirety of the ship.
Yeah, and like the backgrounds are painted. It's not a green screen. It gets all at least the first one.
Right.
And it's, I mean, like some of the behind the scenes photos from this film are fucking incredible because like, you know, you see somebody in plain clothes, the director or sound guy or whoever, standing next to just like literally the scene from the fucking movie. And you're just like losing your mind looking at it.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's just miniatures and things like that. Yeah. I mean, very little effects in a time where we're so used to like Marvel movies and all that stuff, which are thousands of VFX shots.
Yeah.
And very few things are done fully practical outside of like Christopher Nolan's movies these
right.
days.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that is... It's a top tier movie. It's a top 100 greatest films of all time thing, in my opinion. But when you take into account that part of it, it's now top 50. You know what I mean? Like the original characters, the plot, the whole nine yards, but then also like keeping in mind, it's all done in camera.
Right.
Is my, I think audiences, like I'm grinning ear to ear thinking about it.
I think audiences feel that way in general. Like they prefer those types of movies versus ones that you can tell are CG or, you know, use some type of computer effects because you know that it's not real,
right?
Right. Even if you do something, and Jurassic Park is the classic example of this, right? Original Jurassic Park has a lot of animatronics in it, you know, with the raptors and things like that.
Yeah,
close-ups
the only
of the, dinosaurs.
The only time that you that it's not animatronics and it stands out twice is when they first see the dinosaurs. That's obviously green screen. Mm. But then the T-Rex, like, roaring at the end. Everything else is animatronics for the most part.
And in the newer ones, that's not the case.
Correct.
Right? It's most, they're all mostly CG, right.
right? Right.
But the original is still so much better than the new ones.
Well.
Because.
Steven.
Definitely because of Steven. But, like, he's still very, yes. But he's still very involved in those movies.
Yeah, no, I know.
But, yeah, no, I mean, so even though, like, the practical people know that they're fake, like, in their heads, but when they watch it on screen, you don't even think about it. No. Whereas when you see the computer ones, you're like, oh, okay, those are, like, you know.
Yeah.
And it just, I think it just takes you out of it a little bit more.
I agree. And nothing takes you out of a movie faster than a bad effect.
Sure.
Nothing will, and I was waiting. You know, as I'm noticing in the opening battle scenes how it's all practical, I'm like, okay, what's it going to look like to me in 2021 when the guy reaches through the cell?
Right.
And, you know, and that's practical.
No, I don't think so.
The first shot, it's not CGI. It's a puppet, the hand.
Is it?
Go back and watch it, because I watched it like with a hawk's eye to see if it would be a practical, and it's practical.
Okay. I'll have to keep an eye out for that next time.
It when it juts in,
right?
There's clearly like a mask or something, right? That, because you see his arm on the other side, but like, no, it's a practical hand.
Okay, fair enough.
And he goes, very interesting. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just adds to the scale of the movie and the excitement of it. All
yep.
the cannons, all the fights and gunfire and all the
yeah.
stunts and everything.
It's awesome. The number of Wilhelm screams, too, warms the heart.
Oh, are there a whole bunch?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, really good. Not as many as Star Wars, but, you know.
Still, at least as long as you have one in there, at least.
Yeah, still got one. So let's kind of get into it, and let's start here. Should Johnny Depp, did he win? No.
He was nominated, but he didn't win.
It feels like in the history of cinema, there are I have a lot of characters here.
To oh,
not
boy.
Show you the top 10.
Oh, wow.
And the characters that are here, so I originally started just picking characters that are great on films. Like I had Harry Potter, you know, all that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, no literary beforehand. So that takes out, like, everyone from The Godfather. That takes out all the Harry Potter. I mean, it takes out a lot of fucking people. And then I'm like, okay, no animated.
Okay.
And then I tried to pick the top one from each franchise if there were, like, not Luke, Han, Yoda, Vader. You know what I mean? I just picked Vader, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the long list is, you know, over 20. But some guys that did not make the cut. Tony Montana. Charles Foster Kane. Marty McFly. The Dude. Borat.
Oh, Borat.
Ron Burgundy.
Because
mm-hmm. some of the, I think, and it was interesting when I was building the list, I'm like, a lot of them are comedic in nature. Because that those actors get the most room to play, I think, a lot of the times with character.
Sure.
Mr. Miyagi.
Oh, rest in peace.
Is Beetlejuice a literary character? Maybe it was a comic book character.
I don't know.
I couldn't remember.
Could be. That sounds right.
Edward Scissorhands.
Uh-huh.
Kevin McAllister.
Mm-hmm.
Ace Ventura.
Oh, Ace Ventura.
Jeff Spicoli. Annie Hall. And the Ghostbusters.
All those people did not make
it. Did not make the list.
Wow. Okay.
So the top 10. These guys are all collected as one, and it's kind of just a nod to the genre,
yeah.
But it's hard to give them a lot of credit. Freddy, Jason, and Michael Myers.
That's number one?
That's 10.
Oh,
Freddy
okay.
Krueger, Jason Voorhees, Michael Myers at a group 10.
Okay.
They're iconic. They were never, you know what I mean? Like, right. But they're just voiceless bad guys. They're not really much of any. I mean, Freddy has some lines, but they're just big bads. They're not any. There's no depth to them normally. Yeah. That kind of thing. Number nine, Dr. Evil
is Austin Powers on this list?
No.
So you put Dr. Evil over Austin Powers?
I had to pick one from the franchise.
Interesting. I probably would have gone Austin.
Really?
Of the
over
two
Dr.
of them.
Evil?
Well, Dr. Evil's based on Lorne Michaels. So. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Yeah, because apparently that was always his, and they've talked about this, Dana Carvey and Mike Myers, like how when they were at SNL, like when you would go in with Lorne and review your jokes or whatever, he would be like, well, is it the right laugh or is it not the right laugh? Like he would just be like, wow. they just took inspiration. And the look, he kind of looks like him where he's bald and everything. Yeah. So, you know.
Okay. I didn't know that. Number eight, The Terminator.
It'll be back. Sure.
Yeah. That's, you know.
Agreed. Yeah, he should be on there for sure.
Right. Number seven, and this is, there's two of them kind of like this. Number seven's King Kong. There's two of them like this. But,
oh, it's, okay.
But that's seven. Six is Neo.
Neo?
Mm-hmm.
Why is Neo number six?
As far as original character based around a franchise, you know. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think Neo... The top five, I think, was tough to crack because the top five are references in and amongst themselves that have transcended the movies. Neo is just the Matrix.
Right. Well, Neo also, to me, doesn't really stand out as a character all that much. Like, he does some cool things, I guess, with, like, his action sequences and stuff.
Right.
But he's certainly, like, iconic in name and with that trilogy. Okay.
So five is E.T.
Yeah, that's pretty fair, I guess. He still creeps the shit out of me. But
he's on your hat.
Yeah, technically he is. Man, he still is creeping me. Creeping me out. But okay.
Four.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones.
Nice. Yeah, I could see that. I'd argue that for sure.
Yeah, Indy's. Three is Jack Sparrow.
Okay.
Okay? Because the top two are... The top two, you know who they are without ever seeing the fucking movie. And I would imagine Jack Sparrow, you've seen the movie.
Right.
Okay. Two is Rocky Balboa.
Oof. Yeah, probably.
Yep.
I would say that's fair.
And one is Vader.
Yeah, again, I mean, those are definitely both original and more iconic than the other people in those movies.
Yeah.
Okay. About Hannibal Lecter.
Hannibal Lecter is a novel.
Is it?
Yeah, no, Red that's Dragon.
True. That's right. Nice.
Yep.
Okay.
Because there was a lot where I was like, oh, and then like, so the list I pulled up of like, you know, 1,000 greatest film characters, it said where it was first adapted.
Right.
So I was like, okay, that's a good list.
Why was King Kong on there? That was a one. That was a weird one.
So I felt like something King Kong, Godzilla, that kind of like movie, right, is still a very popular movie. They just made one.
Yeah, Creatures, Monsterverse still exists today.
Right. So I felt like it needed to be represented.
That's fair, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a whole genre in itself.
Right. Like I was like King Kong, Godzilla, they're the same thing. So I just picked the American one.
Oh, nice. How patriotic.
Yes.
Alrighty.
Yes. And then I picked the guy who beat the Russians.
There, nothing is more patriotic than that.
No, nothing is more.
Rocky Balboa is America.
Trying to find a picture of Rocky Balboa because literally, like, it's only in American trunks. Like, the black and yellow ones from the original movie are just, you can't find a picture of it.
Just wrapped in an American flag.
Yeah. All the time. Also, none of these fictional characters have a statue dedicated to them.
Except the one.
Except for Rocky Balboa.
Love that.
Way to go, Philly. Keep it classy.
They did one semi-okay thing.
So, yeah. But I think Jack Sparrow belongs in the top five easily, if not top three.
You know who's underrated in this movie as a character, though? Barbossa.
Yes.
He is like the best pirate villain of all time.
He has the best lines.
He has the best lines. He embodies being a pirate more than Captain Jet. Like, he's your typical, like, actual pirate, right? And he is criminally underrated, I think. And they give him a bigger role as the series goes on, which is cool. Because he's, you know, like, as smart as Jack and as cunning as Jack.
He's smarter than Jack.
More evil, I guess.
Yeah.
But he's like the guy who knows everything, too, you know, which is awesome. So Barbossa is supremely underrated, I think, in this movie.
I'm just going to go through, because this feels like a good place to do it, the quotes. Because every time we do one of these movies, I make a dash every time it's like a thing I want to talk about. And then I make a quote every time it's a quote. So it's hard to read around the mic. How many times must I ask you to call me Elizabeth? At least once more, Miss Swan, as always.
Let me ask you this. What's your view on the romance in this movie? In the whole, versus, I guess, the scope of the series, too.
Scope of the series, it blows out of proportion too quickly.
What do you mean?
It goes from, like, boyhood crush kind of thing, like, you know, they finally kiss kind of moment, to, like, they're married and arguing all the time in the next movie. Mm-hmm. You don't see any of the honeymoon phase. It's just right into it.
That's fair, I guess. I mean, the first one's kind of the honeymoon phase because they're all lovey-dovey, but then they don't really get together.
But they're not even a couple.
They don't get together till the end, and then the second one starts as like...
They're married.
Their wedding day, but they get broken apart.
Right.
And separated.
And then he gives her his child, right? He impregnates her.
That's at the end of the third one.
Oh, okay.
I think.
When does he become new Davy Jones? Isn't that the end of the second?
That's the end of the third one.
Oh, end of the third. Okay.
Yeah. Because remember, he's dying, and then Elizabeth takes his hand and stabs the heart because that's the only way for him to survive.
That's the only way for him to survive.
And he becomes, So, like, he can only go on land once every 10 years or something happens. I don't know what happens. Turns to dust or turns to stone. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But, so he goes back and sees her, and then they have, like, his kid is there who's 10
years
old.
Right, and then it's, like, 10 years later, and the kid's, like, 10.
But in the first one, it's great because it's, like, they're both beautiful people, you know.
Two of the prettiest humans on the planet.
Smoldering Orlando Bloom and just, you know, mega babe Keira Knightley. Yeah.
Orlando Bloom, underrated physical, like, action actor.
Yeah.
He's so good with a sword or a bow or whatever in his hands. He's believable.
I think, in a lot of ways, he's just a good actor. Like, he's a pretty boy who also is a talented actor.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way to say it. You know, he has depth to him. He's got very soulful qualities to him. I mean, it blows my mind that he did Lord of the Rings and Pirates of the Caribbean.
Same fucking
simultaneously.
Time. He's literally just dyeing his hair. Brown, blonde, brown, blonde, brown, blonde.
Like, only the two biggest franchises of that, you know, era.
Or ever.
Yeah.
Fuck the era. Like, ever.
Yeah.
And two of my favorite ever.
Definitely.
Lord of the Rings still is.
What's the common thread? There you go. Orlando Bloom.
You are by far the worst pirate I have ever heard of. Ah, but you have heard of me. And then
I can see how clever is that.
It's so quick too.
Yeah.
And then his most famous line, "Gentlemen, you will always remember this as the day you almost caught Captain Jack Sparrow."
Yeah. And at this point in the movie, it's great because it's the first time he's saying it and you're like, "Who is this fucking guy?"
Yeah.
And then he makes this crazy escape.
Who's this fucking guy?
Who's this guy? Who's this fucking guy? But then, you know, five movies in when he's still saying it, you're like, "All right, we get the spiel."
Who made all of these? I did, and I practiced with them 3 times a day. You need to find yourself a girl, mate. Or perhaps you have found her and are incapable of said wooing, of wooing said strumpet.
Yeah.
Classic line. You jaded, pirate.
It's an excuse for everything.
So good, right, you know, back.
Pirate.
Hello, puppet. That's,
Yeah, and it was still, those guys were still creepy at the time. Like, they weren't just pure comedic relief, those two pirates, which they just turned into full-on comedy in the later movies.
They're my favorites, though. They're so fun.
They're the 3PO and the R2.
Bootstraps.
Yeah. They're in the boat at the end. He's like, "Oh, I look nice."
Yeah,
he's like,
"I look nice,
though." Yeah. In the dresses.
And then they start fighting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The code is more like actual, is more like guidelines than actual rules. Like, everything Barbossa says is just as iconic in a lot of ways.
Well, how awesome, too, is the idea of, like, a pirate's code?
Yeah.
Because you think of them as people who have no rules and are just, like, raiding and pillaging and plundering.
There's code among thieves.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to try this one. I'm disinclined to acquiesce your request.
Nice.
So good.
Hell yeah.
I love it.
That was just like such a great rebuttal too.
Yeah. You best start believing in ghost stories, Miss Turner. You're in one.
And then the monkey comes down, the ghost monkey.
Thank you, Jack. You're welcome. No, not you. We named the monkey Jack. why is all the rum gone? Fucking the best. We're all so essentially we're all men of our words, except for Elizabeth, who is a woman,
who is in fact a woman. Yep.
I'll buy you a really big hat, a really big one.
One common theme throughout the whole series of the hats. Yep.
Yep. After all, he is a blacksmith. No, he's a pie. Oh, it's the dad saying, "Is this the life you choose?" He is a blacksmith after all. And she goes, no, he is a pirate.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Take that, Dad.
Yeah. No. So, and, you know, inevitably just, you know, Justin, I hope when you do find that special someone that they look at you the way Jack looks at the Black Pearl. At the end, he caresses the knob.
Just rubbing it and everything.
It's a little bit
too much. One can only hope.
All right. Let's do better or worse. Than better or worse than Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl. First up, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. This is the first one of all of the trilogies.
Sure.
Here.
Yeah. And I would say better than for sure.
Okay.
Pirates is better than Fantastic Beasts. Fantastic Beasts, did you watch?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
It was fine.
Yeah.
It was more Harry Potter content, and I'm okay for that.
It was fine. I was still riding the high of Harry Potter into this movie.
I was riding the high of the stage play that they adapted into a book into this movie.
Oh, the Cursed Child.
The Cursed Child.
Yeah.
Which is fun. The Cursed Child's actually kind of good. Yeah. It's because it's believable. Like, it feels like it's picking right back up. Now, the writing tone is different because it's not Rowling writing it. She was part of it. But it's worth reading.
Okay.
It's worth reading.
Yeah. I've heard really good things about it. Yeah. Fantastic Beasts. I don't think it's not memorable in any ways. I know it's the wizarding world, but it's like,
yeah, the creatures are more memorable than the characters.
Yeah. And they tried to like spin off the second one into like the more of the Harry Potter world with Grindelwald and Dumbledore and all that stuff. But
yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was honestly like just not as good.
Right.
So we'll see how the third one does. The first one did really well because it was carryover from the Harry Potter movies.
Right.
And I think the second one, people were like not into the first one, so they didn't show up for the second one that much. So we'll see what the third one does. Yeah. But yeah, Pirates is better than. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree.
Nice.
Sherlock Holmes.
Ew. I love this Sherlock Holmes. I'm a huge Sherlock Holmes fan in general. Have you watched?
I've seen the first one.
Okay. Game of Shadows is probably equally as good as the first one. The villain is better in Game of Shadows because it's Moriarty this time, who's Sherlock's nemesis, right? And you haven't watched the...
Is this not the right one?
This is the first one.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Yeah,
okay.
And you haven't seen Sherlock on the BBC, right? With Benedict Cumberbatch?
I've seen episodes, but not actually watched it.
Yeah, this one's really tough, actually. Guy Ritchie, who's a director that I love. And
I think this one's good because the cast goes toe-to-toe.
Sure.
Rachel McAdams, Jude Law, Robert
Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. as Sherlock or Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow?
It's tit for tat in a lot of ways.
I mean, Jack Sparrow's the flashier role, but Downey Jr. embodies Sherlock Holmes so well.
I think... And just like Orlando Bloom doing Legolas and Will at the same time, he's doing Iron Man simultaneously with Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
And like two roles he was born to fucking play.
Definitely. Agreed. I really love Sherlock Holmes. I probably would say Pirates because it's more special to me, but these are very close.
Yeah, I'm going to lean Pirates because I did not follow the series after the first one.
Hmm. That's fair.
It didn't hook me in the way Pirates did.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah, so.
Third one in the works.
Yeah. Yeah, coming out. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, Pirates for sure. I'm not a huge Guardians of the Galaxy person. Like, I saw it, and I liked it more than I originally thought I would. But in general, I'm not huge on the Guardians of the Galaxy.
You're not going to like me.
I'm not huge on them.
Guardians better than Pirates of the Caribbean.
Get out of here. No way.
I am a sucker for a couple of things.
Music.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Music. Comic books.
I guess Chris Pratt just being Chris Pratt, though.
And I will pay to see Chris Pratt be fucking fat Chris Pratt, not fucking Jurassic Park
Jacked Chris Pratt.
Yeah, but he's being Andy. He's not being the guy in fucking Jurassic Park who's all serious and stern. And
yeah, Owen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love Bradley Cooper in this one. I guess the characters are okay.
Stacked cast again. Vin Diesel is Groot.
Oh, don't get out of here. You could put
that's
just
hilarious.
You could put Microsoft Sam or whatever that
this
guy's
awesome.
Name. No one would even care.
I am Groot.
I am Groot. Yeah, no, I don't buy that one.
You
David
don't even
Batista's
say
good.
It like you like it.
I don't. I don't like it.
I am Groot.
I don't remember the story of this movie at all. Like, I couldn't tell you a single thing that happened in Guardians of the Galaxy. Right. I think the second one has his dad in it, but that's they're totally forgettable.
Yeah, played by the incomparable
Kurt Russell. Yeah, I do like Kurt Russell. That's for sure. Guardians of the Galaxy. Boo.
Okay. National Treasure.
Another Jerry Bruckheimer classic. Pirates, I like more, but I also love National Treasure more than the average audience goer, I think. Did you see both National Treasures?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Which one do you like more? Do you like the first one better?
The second one has more of the goofy sidekick in it.
Right.
And I like the goofy sidekick. He's, you know, the comedy relief kind of bit. I think the story in the first one's better, but the second one's even more like into its own ethos at that point.
Right.
So, like, I mean, it really jumps off the deep end. So I'm like kind of here for that. So I guess the second one.
Okay. I'm going to stick with the first one. That's it. Because it's a classic.
Better or worse than Pirates?
Pirates, I think, is a little better.
Pirates, I think, is easier to watch. Pirates can either be a sit down, watch with the family movie or a like on in the background movie. National Treasure, I don't think, is an on in the background movie.
Here's,
too much shit going on.
I don't know if this is the most appropriate way to describe it, but I want to say that Pirates is more fun while National Treasure is more cool. Like, I think
National Treasure
is cool in the sense that, like, following that treasure map and everything, and you're learning about history while also, like, there's got to be this treasure map. Does it really exist?
Yeah,
like, you want to go pull out the thing and find the thing, you know?
I think Dead Man's Chest is closer to National Treasure 1 than Pirates 1 is.
Interesting.
In the idea of the cool factor.
Well, they're hunting, you know, like they're hunting the heart and everything.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I like these. I'd say Pirates is a little better, but I definitely like National Treasure a lot more than other people.
I did good this week. I did good
yeah,
this
did real
week
good.
On the list. Raiders or Pirates. And as a series, we're going to end up tipping your hat to Indy.
Mm-hmm.
But is Raiders of the Lost Ark better than Curse of the Black Pearl?
I think the deciding factor for me might be that I saw Pirates at the age that I did, and it had the impact that it had on me. Like, I want to say that the movies are the same, but because Pirates is my movie, that might be the deciding factor. But if I had seen Raiders when I was the same age, it would have probably done the same exact thing. I think Indiana Jones is amazing as a character and the story and everything.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Which one has the better cast?
Raiders or Pirates?
And I think that's the deciding factor. Because Raiders is really just fucking Harrison Ford.
Hey, Salah's okay, and Brody, Martin Brody.
Okay.
And Marion.
Okay.
Like, but they're all such iconic pieces of that franchise.
But they're not Jeffrey Rush, Keira Knightley, Orlando Bloom.
I think if it was The Last Crusade, I would maybe give it to Indy. Because it's got old Sean Connery in it.
That's true.
It's got 007 That's himself.
That's true.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give the edge to Pirates here. I think if it was franchise on the whole.
Oh, Indy kills him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Last Crusade might be the best of the three, whereas the third Pirates movie is not great.
Temple of Doom kind of sucks, too. Like, Temple of Doom's just weird. I hate watching Temple of Doom, actually. And it was my favorite as a kid because it was so weird. And as I've grown up, I'm like, I don't like this anymore.
Isn't it Temple of Doom, though, where he shoots the guy with the swords? The guy's doing all the sword tricks.
No, that's Raiders.
That's Raiders, yeah. Okay.
Temple of Doom's the creepy one where they're at the temple in India, and it's like the guy's pulling out hearts, and they're like eating monkeys' brains for dinner and shit. Like,
there's weird stuff happening in that one.
And then the fourth one, obviously, people don't love as much with the Crystal Skull. So it's actually, it's really interesting now that I'm thinking. I don't know why I've never sat and thought of this for a moment, but like the Indiana Jones franchise on a whole, I don't think it's as good as a franchise as people might think. Because
it just has two really good movies and then one weird one and one shitty one.
Yeah, I mean, I think people generally like Temple of Doom's real polarizing. Yeah. And then I think the general consensus is people don't like Crystal Skull at all. So it's kind of like the Daniel Craig Bonds, where you have two that are amazing and considered, you know, top of the heap, and then two that are shitty and sort of discarded, right? But so Indiana Jones is not great the whole way through, as much as Indiana Jones the character is great the whole way through. That's interesting to me.
I think, and you know, almost Jack Sparrow gets diluted every time. The cool factor. Or maybe he gets the opposite of diluted. More potent every time, as in like diving deeper into this like weird, goofy character.
Yeah, he just gets drunker every time.
Right.
Is what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Same. Okay. And finally, The Mummy. Better or worse than Pirates of the Caribbean?
That's a really good one. That's a really good comparison. Both have the fantasy elements to it. Came out around similar times. Have the casts.
The casts to go toe-to-toe for sure.
Yeah.
And plot-wise with the romance and the treasure and the big bad guy. I mean, there's so much. The effects are about equal in a lot of senses, where there's a lot of practical effects in Mummy versus, I mean, it's essentially boils down to Brendan Fraser versus Johnny Depp in just fucking incredible roles.
Battle of the Nut Jobs, for sure.
Well, that's neither here nor there.
I think I have to give it to The Mummy, actually.
It's fucking right.
I really
fucking right.
If we're looking at the whole movie, I mean,
Mummy is fucking great.
The most epic romance, you know, the action, the Egyptian setting and everything. I mean, like, everything about The Mummy is just fucking amazing, to the point where I wanted to be an Egyptologist for like 1 year of my life
there
in
you
the
go.
Sixth grade. This is pre-Pirates.
And we did Egyptian shit in sixth grade.
Yeah, and it was like I just wanted to learn everything about Egypt that year.
Oh, man.
I think I actually have to give it to The Mummy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's go, Mummy.
Are you also saying The Mummy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
that easy?
Yeah. Yeah, because I think, and this is weird, but my mom hates pirates.
Really?
She can't understand what's going on. Between the accents and how dark it is, like physically, like, you know, the lighting is very dramatic. She's like constantly like, I can't tell what's going on. Who's fighting who? What's happening? And like, she doesn't understand the plot. She doesn't understand who's who, like why they're fighting. Like, but she loves The Mummy. So like, as a family, we watch The Mummy a lot more than we watch Pirates.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could turn either of them on and just go with it. But I feel like I've done it much more with The Mummy.
Oh yeah,
maybe it's just been on TV more.
The old TNT special,
the old Friday night TNT special, the two mummies.
I own both of them on DVD. I'll just leave it at that.
Both of the mummies.
Both of the mummies, one and two, and Pirates one and two.
Oh okay, like the double feature.
Yeah.
Did you ever see The Mummy 3, the Chinese one with the Tomb of the Dragon Emperor or whatever? Jet Li's in it.
No.
Oh, it's the worst. It shouldn't even exist. It's like The Godfather Part 3. You're like, let's just pretend it
you
doesn't
exist.
You mean
Michael Scott's favorite?
Yeah. It's like, let's just pretend it doesn't exist. We'll watch 1 and 2 and that's it. Because in the third Mummy, Brendan Fraser's not in it.
Right.
And it's like the kid is grown up now. And the mummy is a Chinese warrior from like the whatever dynasty. And it's Jet Li. And he's like, he comes back in fire and it's not Egyptian at all. So it's like, it's a totally...
Total departure.
It almost feels like a totally
successful.
Different movie. Yeah, like it's just on a
bizarre
tangent.
I thought
tangent.
Scorpion King was the third one, but I guess that's its own separate franchise.
Yeah, that's like a weird off. That's a spinoff is what it is. And people, Scorpion King, people actually like a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, The Rock. You know,
I mean, other than when The Rock turns into a giant scorpion.
Yeah.
That is one of the worst
I mean,
CGI
well, that's,
jobs.
Well, that's, no, that's in The Mummy 2. That's at the end of The Mummy 2.
Oh, that's right.
Because they're
right.
Fighting him as the Scorpion
that's
King.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right. That's right.
The Rock and the Scorpion King was pretty solid.
Yeah.
But, okay. Yeah, Mummy 3, forget about it. Mummy number 1, better than Pirates of the Caribbean.
Woo! Can't believe we got there. We kind of just discussed the franchises, but, you know, is there anything else you wanna add to that part of the conversation? There's this weird bug in here.
The other got franchises?
It. Yeah, like Star Wars, you know, where does it rank in the Star Wars Lord of the Rings level of movie franchise?
Fantasy franchises or all franchises?
Well, I don't know that you can take Pirates and put it up against like The Godfather.
Right.
Say
fantasy franchises.
I
suppose.
Would say fantasy franchises are probably where we should keep it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like Jurassic Park. I mean, Jurassic Park 2 and 3 are not ideal.
Thank
you, ranking. Sorry if we missed that.
I think that's really tough for me, and I
drink
think,
the rum, lads.
I think again the best comparison to the Pirates franchise is the Transformers franchise in the way that the franchises have played out and evolved over time. I think it's very similar the trajectory of each movie.
It's a battle for my heart right there.
and I think that it's like I wouldn't put Transformers in the top franchise with any of those other ones, and I guess I can't do it with Pirates either.
Why not? I
because
mean, 1 and 2 we've decided are good.
1 is great. 2 and 3 are equally like,
oh, okay.
I think 2 and 3 white ride the goodwill from the first one a little bit more than like if you broke them down, you'd be like, this is kind of weird.
Transformers,
like,
Transformers ride the goodwill.
Yeah,
from the first 30 minutes of the first movie. The whole way through.
Five movies later.
Yeah, 5 movies later.
Yeah, but no, like. And I haven't seen the last Transformers, whatever the dinosaurs one
yeah.
is. Or the last night.
Grimlock.
Yeah, I can't keep track of them. But, yeah, because I think the Pirates, the last 2 movies you can wipe off. But I think there is a decline in the Pirates franchises. Like, the first one sets the tone. The second one is a little bit less, and then the third one's a little bit, and then it falls off, right? And if I'm thinking of the other great franchises out there, whether it's Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or Star Wars or, you know, the fantasy ones, Neverending Story, whatever it is. It feels like they are more sustained throughout than Pirates, which is really one great movie, and then it just
yeah. I mean, off. The archetype when you're writing a trilogy is that the first one is all character building, right? Here's these characters. Here's the bad guy. Here's why they're fighting, and you know the goal is to make you fall in love with the main characters, right? The second one is meant to have a lot of battles in it, action sequences, and it's meant to leave the characters at their lowest point in the entire trilogy at the end of the second one, right? So that you want to come see them rise back up in the third one, right? It's the idea of an act, right? 3 acts in a movie, but spread out through 3 movies.
Exactly.
And no movie franchise does that fucking better than Lord of the Rings.
Agreed. I think Lord of the Rings is probably, I would say, the best trilogy.
They are literally scattered. They are without their leader. Half of them are dead. I mean,
okay.
It just gets, what
I want to pose this one to you, okay. Assuming that you've seen all 3 of these movies. Pirates of the Caribbean versus Chris Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy.
Have I seen all 3 of them? What an insulting comment.
Just assuming.
So
you never know.
So here's what I would say.
Yeah.
Chris Nolan's 3 Batman movies
mm-hmm.
are two of them are some of the finest films ever made. Batman Begins and obviously Dark Knight Rises.
Really? Batman Begins?
No. Oh, Batman Begins is fucking awesome.
It's
awesome.
It's fine.
It's awesome.
I think that's
and you
that's
know why.
Strong.
You know why.
So Liam Neeson, obviously.
No, because Killian fucking Murphy is in the whole thing. No, but like I don't feel that those three tie together as well as the three Pirates movies.
The third Chris Nolan one, definitely. You know, it's so weird to me because they're all so distinct.
When does Scarecrow show back up?
He's in the third one. He's in the second one, too.
Briefly.
Right. He has like a cameo in each one.
Right.
Right.
And so like... you know what I mean? Like, there's no thread other than Batman.
Well, that's the nature of comic books is you have a different villain in each movie, whereas Pirates is more continuous.
That is the nature. But if you look at the Captain America franchise, right, those three movies tie together much cleaner than the Batman movies. Even... well, the new Spider-Man trilogy is probably the cleanest tied together.
Which one's the new one?
Far From Home, Homecoming, and then whatever the third one will be. Those are probably, as far as the thread goes, the nicest bow that you could put on it.
No, because that's the same thing where you have a different villain in each one.
Yeah, but much like the original trilogy with Tobey Maguire, you see the evolution of the main character, Peter Parker. You see him grow through it.
Yeah, and you see that in the Dark Knight trilogy.
Do ya?
Yeah, oh, definitely. It might not seem like it because the Dark Knight is the best one, and he's just full-on Batman in that one. But the first one is all about him realizing what he wants to do with his life and becoming Batman. And then it's the same three acts. And then the second one, well... I guess it's not as clean because the third movie is sort of his fall and his rise in the same movie.
Well, it starts that he is public enemy number one, right? That's why he's the Dark Knight right at the end of it. Mm-hmm. Because he is he's being vanquished because he takes the heat for all of the shit to try to make Aaron Eckhart's character.
Yeah, Harvey Dent.
Thank you. Harvey Dent, the White Knight of Gotham, right? So he takes all the heat, even though he's the one that saved Gotham. So he's public enemy number one, and Bane is trying to draw him out. And then, like, you know, he kind of, like, gets a little bit of the hero's comeback. But even then, after the comeback, he disappears. He's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you don't get the he's just gone. And you don't get the satisfying understanding like you do at end of Lord of the Rings when, you know, Frodo and Gandalf have to go on the boat.
Which, by the way, I never understood why that happened. Like, I know it's in the book when they go to the Grey Havens or whatever, but it's like...
it's so Middle Earth can heal.
What? I don't understand.
So they are so poisoned from the Eye of Sauron that they need to, like, Middle Earth needs to flush itself of any last remaining scraps of that part of its time.
Well, why does Frodo need to go with Gandalf?
Because he had the ring. He wore the ring.
Yeah, but then he gave it back. Or he destroyed it.
He wore it, though. It's like crumpling up a piece of paper. You can uncrumple it, but it'll never be right again. It'll never be the way it was.
Okay, I gotta throw in a couple more franchises here.
Yeah.
So we can talk about them. In terms of best fantasy franchises, we didn't mention Star Trek.
Star Trek is a TV show.
It's very much a movie franchise.
It's a TV show.
Very much a movie franchise. And
it's a TV show.
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games is kind of like Pirates. First one's great. Second one's okay. Third one's probably as good as the second one. But then they split it into two movies, so then that kind of like prolonged everything.
I think both of those were forgettable.
The second one's fun because her and Peeta have to both go in.
Right. Yeah, but they're only in it for a little bit. It's in like half the movie they're back in the thing and then they get captured. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I guess so. It's tough because I read the books and then went right into the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally, like I think the first movie was about to come out, and I was like, oh well, I have plenty of time. I was like commuting between three jobs or something, so I was doing a lot of audiobooks, and I like listened to the whole book set, and like I remember liking the second book better. Because that has, like, Beatty in it and, like, Harrison – or no, he goes in the third one. But it's more of a team element in, mm-hmm. in the second one, where it's more of a team up than the first one when she's in there alone.
The Hunger Games were a major disappointment. It should have been rated R.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if her and Pita fuck, it's a whole nother movie.
Not for that reason. So for the violence, like, so for the killing. Obviously, unless somebody
there's a reason Red Sparrow did better than Hunger Games at the box office.
It did not even come close to Hunger Games at the box office. That movie was fucked.
Yeah,
it did the fucking, and that movie was fucked.
Fucked.
So Pirates, where are you gonna put it? Like, you gonna say top three, top five, or not in the conversation?
We're gonna go with trilogies, right? So that's gonna eliminate Harry Potter.
I could say fantasy franchises.
Fantasy franchises top three are fucking Star Wars, Potter, and Lord of the Rings in no particular order.
So this is top five in the conversation?
Transformers is in my top five. I'm not proud to say that.
It's hard to... They're very similar.
No! Because fucking Turtles.
Turtles isn't fantasy.
Ninja Turtles isn't fantasy?
No, I don't think it's fantasy.
There's giant human-sized turtles running around in ninja gear. What's not fantasy about that? And they eat pizza.
Well, obviously.
And skateboard.
Yeah, but they...
Their best friend
it was toxic waste.
Is a hockey player.
It could happen.
From Harvard in Boston.
It could happen. It could happen. It could happen. I don't know. I don't think that's a fantasy. Yeah, maybe it is.
Where's Marvel fall into this whole, you know what I mean?
Fuck Marvel.
Like, where do Marvel DC fall? You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to, you got to put some parameters on it.
I mean, Marvel is, without question, the most well-tied together franchise in cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe James Bond. Even though Marvel's every single movie has connected together.
Yeah, James Bond is connected
universe.
Together. Also, how many James Bonds had more than one good movie? Like two of them?
Depends who you ask, really.
Really?
Yeah.
But like, even those who are, you know, I don't care which one you fucking pick, like, are there three good Sean Connery movies?
Depends who you ask.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In your James Bond loving opinion.
I would say, let's see, From Russia with Love and Goldfinger are great. A lot of people like Thunderball.
He's doing this without the internet. Isn't that fucking scary?
Oh, I'll go in order. I'll go in order.
It's scary.
Dr. No is iffy, but that's the first one, so it's like he's still not there. But then, yeah, From Russia with Love and Goldfinger, people are... say the best Bonds.
Okay, so,
of all of them.
So two.
There's two. Thunderball is like, it depends who you ask. You Only Live Twice, definitely not. He's in yellow face the whole movie, which is just bizarre. And then Diamonds Are Forever, probably not. So there would be an argument for three good Connery ones. Two for sure, maybe a third, depending who you ask.
Which is Thunderball.
Yeah.
And then what about, don't make me jump for
Timothy
it.
Dalton only has two. Roger Moore had seven, I think. And again, Roger Moore depends who you ask, because he had some classic ones like the Jaws ones and things like that. You know, Moonraker and Spy Who Loved Me is supposed to be very good. I've only seen one of the Roger Moores, because I don't like Roger Moore as James Bond. So I've only seen one of his movies, and I was not a fan.
And then only two good Daniel Craigs, unless you want to say Knives Out as a James Bond movie. Which I'm here for that argument.
It could round it in. Yeah. Just assimilate into the family. Yeah, and Pierce Brosnan only had...
One very bad '90s awesome
Hold
James
on a sec.
Bond movie.
I could make an argument for three good Pierce Brosnan movies.
Oh, buddy. I will stand next to you, and I'll get punched in the face, but we do not stand a shot in this argument.
GoldenEye is a given.
GoldenEye is kind of a given.
GoldenEye is a given, for sure. If only because of the video game. But Die Another Day is maybe the worst James Bond movie of all of them. It might be the worst James Bond of all of them.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Tomorrow Never Dies and The World Is Not Enough are both such great 90s movies that I can't say anything bad about them.
Which one has Halle Berry in it?
Die Another Day. That's the worst one.
Yeah.
The World Tomorrow Never Dies is the stealth boat.
You were like, that's the worst one. Yeah. Like, you were like, seven again. Like, that one stinks.
Two of these. Yeah. Two of them.
Way down.
Tomorrow Never Dies is in China with, not Sandra Oh, Michelle Yeoh, and it's the stealth boat, and the guy who's like the maniacal press genius, Jonathan okay. Pryce. And then The World Is Not Enough is with, oh, that's babes galore in that one. That is Sophie Marceau, who's the chicken Braveheart, and then Denise Richards, and the villain is Renard, who's the guy who has like the bullet lodged in his brain. And the plot is like he's trying to steal plutonium or some shit like that. But anyway.
Of course, plutonium.
Both of them are just great 90s movies. So I would say, you know, they fit very well into the Pierce Brosnan trifecta there. And then Die Another Day is just the stupidest thing ever.
Okay.
But
Pirates
is definitely top 10. I would say maybe top 5.
Top 5 is hard to make that argument when you take into account Harry Potter, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, and then you add into those arguments things like James Bond, Star Trek, Turtles. But like, you know, even if you pick a Marvel character, it immediately jumps to the top 3 or top 4,
mm-hmm.
depending on which one you pick. You know what I mean? Like, it's tough.
Yeah.
I think it's tough to get it into the top 5.
It top might, 10 for sure.
Top 10 for sure. I think it sits maybe right at 5 at its peak.
We'll say 5 to 10, somewhere
yeah,
in there.
I think that works.
That's fair.
All right. And then finally, we wrap every show up with overrated, underrated. And Jesus Christ, it's going to be... Whew, oh, we just could say underrated for all of them in a lot of ways. But let me pull this up. So let's start with the director.
Gore Verbinski, yeah.
I don't know anything other than Pirates.
Did you look at his list of credits?
A little bit, but not the whole way. Hang
Gore
on.
Verbinski has a really weird career. It's very mixed, that's for sure. Did you ever see Rango?
Yeah, I love Rango.
Oh, that's Gore Verbinski.
Yeah, I loved Rango. I thought Rango, much like some of the other things we just talked about, would have been better as PG-13 instead of PG.
Look at that. 5 Oscars Pirates was nominated for. 5 Oscars. That's incredible.
Okay, so best actor in a leading role, Johnny Depp. Best makeup, best sound mixing, best sound editing, best visual effects. Man,
sure. There you go.
All of those are easy. And they didn't win any of them?
Nah, fantasy films don't generally do all that well.
The Oscars are fucked.
Yeah, Gore Verbinski, though. I mean, he's done... I was just watching something he directed the other day, and I was like, what the hell? Yeah, he did A Cure for Wellness, which was his most recent movie, which a lot of people are iffy on. That
he
was
did
like
the Ring?
He did The Ring.
Oh, yeah. Man. Talk about fuck me up.
Mouse Hunt. Yeah, I was talking about Mouse Hunt at work the other day forever.
That.
Yeah, Gore Verbinski.
You talked about it here.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Mouse Hunt.
You were pissed that I hadn't seen it.
It's a classic.
You were like, I draw the line at Mouse Hunt.
Hilarious. The Lone Ranger was a huge flop, but yeah, Rango and then Weatherman.
Also directed a NoFX video, so that's cool.
Yeah. So he is probably...
I mean...
I don't think he's
the
underrated.
The Ring and Pirates of the Caribbean are so fucking good, they kind of like most directors would kill for one of them, let alone two of them.
Yeah, but outside of that, like, I mean, he did the 3 Pirates, and then his career was, I mean, I think he's probably maybe a little underrated just because he's done a lot of big things, but not a lot of them have been right. Very good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Jeffrey Rush. Man. He's kind of, like, before his time version of, Why can't I ever remember this guy's name? He's the ultimate woman in yellow.
What? The woman in yellow?
Yeah, so that's like the script writing thing, like the woman in yellow. Like, so the woman in red is the lust object. The woman in yellow is the shapeshifter.
Mm. Daniel Day-Lewis?
No, not Daniel Day-Lewis. Who is Commissioner Gordon in Dark Knight?
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman. All right, so Shakespeare in Love, Shine, Quills, and The King's Speech are at top of Jeffrey Rush's IMDb page.
How is Mystery Men not there?
A great question. Right? And just kind of scrolling down, obviously, the Pirates franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Using Green Lantern. Yeah, I mean, like, King's Speech was, you know, one of the biggest movies, like, Oscar-wise. Munich, good movie. Mm-hmm. Finding Nemo, he's Nigel, that's fucking right.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Frida, yeah. Mystery Man, Elizabeth, Les Mis, but these were all back in, you know, the 90s. 20 or 30 years ago. Mm-hmm.
Twisted, sorry, I got excited. Yeah, I mean,
not as many things as you would think for Jeffrey Rush, because he's done some bigger movies in the past 10 or 15 years.
Right.
But I think underrated for sure. I think he's insanely talented as an actor.
I would agree with that.
Keira Knightley.
This is a creepy question. Do you love Keira Knightley more in Pirates or in Love Actually?
Probably Pirates.
Probably Pirates, because she's not 18, Josh.
Yeah, right.
Fucking weirdo.
Because she's, I mean, legally, I have to say Pirates.
Right.
Yeah, she's outstanding. And mm-hmm. my only disappointment with her, and I guess, I don't even think it disappoints me, but she's not a franchise gal outside of Pirates. She's always done more like Oscar-y movies with Atonement and Pride and Prejudice. Oh, she was in the Nutcracker as the one fairy. But yeah, Colette. I mean, she's very much like the Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh yeah.
Type where she did like maybe one big movie or two big movies, but for the most part kind of stays in the indie world, which I like a lot. And she's incredibly talented.
She's great. She's really talented. And let's not forget, scroll all the way down and Phantom Menace. Dun dun dun.
That blows my mind. Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, Keira Knightley is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Also equally awesome.
Oof.
Man Crush flow. Monday, every fucking Monday.
Flow.
Orlando Bloom is one of my favorite actors of all time. I'm not ashamed to say that.
I wouldn't go that far.
He really is, because, like, literally,
you don't
Lord
like him
of the
as
Rings,
an actor. You just like his movies that he's
okay,
in.
Well, what's the difference?
The movie is different than the actor.
What's the difference?
One is the movie and one's just one person in the
movie. But if I'm going to watch it because he's in it, what's the fucking difference?
You're not watching Lord of the Rings for Legolas, as cool as Legolas is.
I don't think you understand how much I like Legolas.
Maybe not.
I would watch a Legolas-Gimli spinoff.
There we go. Legolas and Gimli. That'd be hilarious.
And they're just counting things.
I think Orlando Bloom is underrated for sure. And I really like Carnival Row, which is the latest TV show that he did for Amazon that got one season made, and then COVID happened.
Well, you know.
Yeah, Troy. He was Paris in Troy and
Black Hawk Down.
Yep.
A short list for Orlando Bloom here.
Not that short.
Well, he started in 90. We'll call it 97.
Well, the thing about him is that he, like, in drama school, got these franchises. So the guy's only like 41 or 42. He's not that old.
Oh, yeah. I did not realize.
He's 77, so he just turned 41.
Wow.
So, you know, like, he got the part of Legolas while he was in drama school.
The year Zeppelin 4 came out. 77 was a good year for the world.
Okay.
Orlando Bloom and Led Zeppelin 4.
Star Wars came out in 77.
Yeah. Cool.
But yeah, I would think underrated as an actor. Like, he's talented
agree.
For sure.
I would agree. You want to talk about your boy?
I don't know what's left to say about him that hasn't already been said by the press or, you know, at this point by anybody.
Hunter S. Thompson was his role model, so he lives that life now.
I truly believe in my heart that Johnny Depp was the best actor of his generation for a solid 15 to 20 years.
Well, I think
between Edward Scissorhands and
I didn't think I was going to need to pull this up.
Like Sweeney Todd, that's 20 years. I think he was the most talented actor in terms of a guy, an actor who is able to create art and create roles and embody characters. You know, we talk about like, you know, Matt Damon or Mark Wahlberg, who are just like, they go from movie to movie kind of being the same guy. Johnny Depp was so incredibly varied and was so distinctly different in all of his movies and was so great in so many different ways that I don't think anyone ever came close to replicating.
Did you like The Rum Diaries?
Eh, it's like near the bottom of his filmography. Okay.
So Rango's 2011. How about Alice in Wonderland?
That's probably the last great role as the Mad Hatter in the first one, yeah.
So we'll say Alice in Wonderland's 2010.
Mm-hmm.
I'd even say 11 because I liked Rango.
Okay.
But well, that's a voice acting. Yeah. So, and then let's scroll all the way down to the other side here and kind of pick up, well, Nightmare on Elm Street, great, great role. He just gets killed in a bed. Then Platoon.
Yeah, has a minor role.
So his first, he's 21 Jump Street, which was a big thing.
87 is when that started. But again, that was TV.
So 90 to 2010.
20 years.
20 fucking years.
I honest to God, I think he was the best actor in the world, maybe, for those 20 years.
Him. So when does Tom Hanks lose that throne?
Tom Hanks is, I mean, Tom Hanks is still going. But I don't think Tom Hanks disappears into roles the way that Johnny Depp did. And if you think about John, you know, the characters he did between Edward Scissorhands, Jack Sparrow, Willy Wonka, you know, all of these different characters, Ed Wood. I mean, you know, Tom Hanks has a lot of great roles, but you never like, you know, Forrest Gump is one of them, but you know.
So I'm just, I don't disagree. I just kind of want to just take a look.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis would be close, but he does mostly dramatic stuff.
And also didn't do, I mean, you said dramatic, but like did not do the blockbusters.
Right, yeah.
Johnny Depp was a box office draw, but then also could turn around and do a fucking indie film.
Yeah.
Best Actor, Academy Award winners. Is this going to give me the list I'm looking for? It is, yay. All right, let me scroll down here. So I'm going to just kind of look at winners from 90 to 2010.
Oh, boy.
Jeremy Irons, no. Anthony Hopkins, eh. Al Pacino, I would say, was probably the prior 20 years, and his last great film is probably in the 90s. Mm. So Son of a Woman is the movie he won for. Yeah.
Maybe. I've never been a huge Pacino fan as much as everyone else, but I haven't seen a lot of his movies.
So then Tom Hanks in Philadelphia, Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump, Nicolas Cage in Leaving Las Vegas, which Johnny Depp is in.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Rush, there we go, in Shine. Jack Nicholson, that's a conversation. That's a guy who can disappear into a role. Or is it still just always Jack Nicholson?
I feel like there's a similar element to a lot of his characters. And again, like I factor the look of the character into this heavily.
Sure, sure.
Because
sure.
I'm not, I mean, outside of Joker for Jack Nicholson.
But even still, it's Jack Nicholson in paint. Like it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anyone that disappears into a character completely, whether it's by the costume or the makeup or things like that.
Here's one. And we're putting aside personal life, Kevin Spacey. I mean, he disappears into the role the way Johnny Depp does.
No, not like Johnny Depp does.
No?
What's a Kevin Spacey role where you didn't look and see Kevin Spacey? Like, he's on the same level of talent, for sure. Mm-hmm. He's an incredible, incredible actor, or was. But all of his best roles, it's still like, you know, Usual Suspects and Seven. You know, it's like Kevin Spacey just being Kevin Spacey. In a way. Okay. Frank Underwood, even.
Okay. Denzel does not disappear into roles, but equally a phenomenal actor.
Sure.
Adrian Brody.
Nah, didn't do enough.
Okay. Sean Penn.
Nah, same argument as Kevin Spacey.
Okay. Just kind of scrolling through here. Colin Firth, Daniel Day-Lewis, there's the Lincoln win. McConaughey doesn't disappear into roles, but is, you know, McConaughey. Leonardo fucking DiCaprio. That's tough.
I think it's tough for sure.
But what does he disappear into a role? Like, I don't think we're cutting up on anybody like the Denzels, the Tom Hanks of the world by saying they don't disappear into a role. But like, what character did Leo? What character do you look at that Leo has played and you're like, oh, who the hell is that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, if you think of Johnny Depp as the Mad Hatter, right? Completely unrecognizable almost. And I don't, these other actors, even Leo, who has done a very wide range of
wide
things.
Birth of,
yeah.
Probably as diverse as Johnny Depp.
But I still just, it's always Leo being amazing.
Yeah.
And doing, you know, looking like Leo, but doing new things. So.
Telling you, Gary Oldman.
Daniel Day-Lewis, I think, is the closest one. Like, when you think about, like, a movie like Lincoln, you know, that's on the same level as Johnny Depp.
Joaquin Phoenix. Does not have the birth that Johnny Depp has, but definitely disappears into roles.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think he does it less so with makeup and costumes, but he definitely is able to chameleonize himself, and whether it's in The Master or the, you know, Johnny Cash or and Joker, obviously. I think that's probably a close argument to be made, maybe.
And then my last one's Gyllenhaal. Or is it just Gyllenhaal just acting his ass off?
It's tough because a lot of these people do kind of physically change themselves in certain ways, whether it's becoming skinnier or growing their hair out.
Like, you could give credit to fucking Dallas Buyers Club, the other one, Jared Leto. Like, Jared Leto has transformed himself like wild.
Christian Bale has too.
Christian Bale's a thought.
Mm-hmm.
He has the franchises. He has the diversity. He disappears into roles.
Yeah, but I can't see Christian Bale doing anything crazy like Johnny Depp did crazy, you know? Like, he just does a lot of really deep psychological character exploration type movies, you know? I mean, American Hustle, that was a little bit more lighthearted, and he definitely changed his appearance for that. Chaney, I guess, is, you know... I don't know. Maybe in a different way than Johnny Depp.
Norman Bateman.
Yeah. Maybe similar, but, you know, in a different way.
Okay. I buy it. But, yeah, one of the best to ever do it, for sure. So, that was Pirates of the Caribbean.
The best.
The best. Thank you for watching Thoughts from the Movies this week. And we'll see you sometime.